Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this evening is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 24, beginning with the 44th verse. This is our Gospel for today, this day of our Lord's Ascension. You may be seated. Dear followers of our ascended Lord, the followers of Jesus called him Rabbi, an Aramaic term for teacher. They were called his disciples, which means students or pupils. They saw Jesus as their teacher. They followed him wherever they went. They listened and clung to his every word. They saw him as the one who taught them what God's word was all about. That he was more to them than just a teacher. They called him Lord and God and Savior. To them, he was the Christ, the promised Messiah, the one God promised to their ancestors who would come and save the world from their sins. But Jesus left them. He ascended into heaven. He told them he was going away for a while. Now normally, you would think that if someone's Lord and Savior and God and teacher would leave his disciples, it'd be a sad occasion. But not Christ's ascension. It's a time for rejoicing, a time for celebration. Why? Because Jesus is in heaven. Even though he is gone, he's still found in his word. He still speaks to us through his church, and he still watches over his entire creation. Now Jesus spent the 3 years of his ministry with his disciples. He picked them by hand. They gave up their livelihoods, they set their lives aside, and followed him wherever he went. He taught them God's word. Now he did this through a variety of ways. He taught them in parables and in stories. He used miracles to prove his point. Again and again, he quoted the Old Testament scriptures and pointed out how they were talking about him and how he fulfilled them. But those disciples were slow to understand. Again and again, we see how they didn't quite grasp everything that the Lord was telling them. For instance, on Maundy Thursday, as Jesus was telling them, I have to go away. I am going to my Father. The disciples didn't understand what he was saying. And even on Easter, even after Jesus rose from the dead, we see the disciples locking themselves in the upper room. And when they saw Jesus, they thought he was a ghost. They just didn't quite grasp what he was saying. Now, perhaps you've been in a similar situation. Maybe it was math or algebra or history. Maybe it was a language. For me, it was Latin, for instance. Whenever the teacher or professor would say something or say some things, I may not have quite grasped it or understood it correctly. I thought I might have, or maybe I said I did, but I really didn't understand the concept or whatever he was trying to say. Maybe I did understand it, but it didn't last very long, just in my short-term memory, and I soon forgot how to do it. That's what the disciples were like. Again and again, Jesus taught them, but again and again, they just simply did not understand. And then we see what Jesus did for them in verse 45 of our text. He opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations beginning at Jerusalem. At the end of his time here on earth, Jesus once again taught his disciples. He once again went through everything the Old Testament scriptures had to say about him. That he had to suffer, that he had to die, that he had to rise from the dead. And how he fulfilled all the Old Testament. He opened up their hearts and minds, and then finally, they began to understand and grasp what he was saying. But time was running out. Soon Jesus would ascend in heaven. He's going to leave them all by themselves, and they would be on earth while Jesus is in heaven. And yet Jesus wouldn't leave them alone. Now in our gospel for last Sunday, we saw how Jesus gave comfort to his disciples when he would leave them. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. I will not leave you as orphans. Jesus promised to send them the Holy Spirit. And this, of course, was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. It's a promise that he reiterated in verse 49 of our text. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. On that day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given to them. And he was in their hearts ever since. He would strengthen their faith in their knowledge of his word. And Jesus still does the same today. He still works through his Holy Spirit. Now you have not seen Jesus with your physical eyes, and yet you have seen Jesus through the eyes of faith. You know him. You know who he is. You know what he has done for you. That is how you know about his birth, his suffering, his life, his death, his resurrection. It's through his word. Jesus right now may be in heaven, and yet you still see him. He still speaks to you through faith. He speaks to you through the word. So that now, through faith in him, you can see him. Even though he is in heaven, and then you know him as your Lord and Savior. You know, one of the best ways to learn something is to teach it. If you teach something, you have to know the material forwards and backwards and know it well enough to be able to put it into your own words so that the students can understand. And you have to know more on top of that in order to cover any questions that some students might have. When you teach something, you learn it and remember it better. That is what Jesus tells us to do. He tells us to teach the word, to go out and spread the good news, the eternal life that he gives to us. So in this way, Jesus still speaks through the church. You know, on multiple occasions during his 3 years with his disciples, Jesus sent the disciples out to spread the gospel. Now, for instance, in Luke chapter 9, we read about how Jesus sent out the 12 disciples. He sent them to go throughout from village to village. They were to preach the kingdom of God. He even gave them the power to cast out demons and to heal diseases. In the next chapter of Luke, Jesus sent out 72 of his followers. He sent them out two by two. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out his workers into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." You can think of that as training exercises, early field experience, or perhaps a vicar year. Jesus was teaching them and training them what to do when he would be gone. To tell others about his suffering, death, and resurrection. After teaching them once again about everything he had told them, he said the forgiveness of sins will be preached throughout the world, beginning in Jerusalem. Then he said, you are witnesses of these things. In other words, you are those who testify about me. You are those who witness to me before others. For me before others. Luke isn't the only one who recorded a commission. Many of the other gospel writers did the same. The Great Commission, for example, spoken between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Again, similar commissions are recorded by other writers of the New Testament. One of the purposes Jesus trained his disciples for was to go out and spread the word. And all of us are disciples. All of us then are to spread the gospel. Now we know many who don't know Christ. We all have friends or relatives or neighbors or associates at work who need to hear the comfort of forgiveness, who need to know what Christ has done for them. The Great Commission wasn't just given to the disciples. The disciples represent the whole church, everyone. So it's all of our duties and responsibilities to spread the gospel, to teach His word in its truth and purity, and to baptize all nations in the name of the triune God. And without us doing so, then no one would ever believe. Paul makes that point in Romans 10. How then can they call on the name they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It's not just pastors or other called workers who have been sent. As a Christian, you have been sent too. It's your duty to spread the gospel, so that the Holy Spirit might work faith into the hearts of some and to increase the faith in the hearts of others. We know that His word will not return to Him empty, but it will accomplish its purpose for which He sent it. So it is with great joy that we get to spread the gospel. It is a great and awesome privilege that He has given to us. These jars of clay, these sinful human beings, are entrusted to something so wonderful and so precious that we get to spread the gospel so that other people may believe and come to the knowledge of the truth. And then we'll notice something. We'll notice something as we are spreading the gospel, that our faith in Him is being strengthened, and our knowledge of Him and His word, as we teach it to others, is growing as well. When a teacher is gone for a while, he gets a substitute teacher. Students think that's great. You get to mess around, you might get away with certain things. But what students often don't realize, at least right away, that the teacher will find out about it. The teacher still is the one in charge. He still is the one who rules over the classroom. And in the same way, Jesus may be gone, but He's still watching over us. He still rules over His entire creation. Now that isn't explicitly found in our text for today, but it is found in the rest of Scripture. Throughout the Scriptures we see where God is in heaven. He's at the right hand on the throne of God. The writer of the Hebrew tells us so in chapter 12. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's the position of power and might. That spot on the throne of God is one of dominion and authority. And what does God do with that power and authority? Well, Paul gives us the answer in his first chapter to the letter to the Ephesians. There he says that Jesus is far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and anointed him to be head over everything for the church. Jesus has power over all things. He rules over his entire creation, his church included. From his throne in heaven, he rules over all things in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Now normally, when you say that someone is watching you, it's usually used as a threat. People get upset. No, they don't like to be watched. Just think of the reaction that happened when we found that various government agencies have been watching us or recording certain data of ours. Uproar. And God watching over us can serve as a deterrent to our simple nature. But it's also a comfort. An encouragement. Jesus is watching you. He's watching over you. He sees your every need. He understands your weaknesses. He knows what bothers you. He knows what tempts you. He understands what ails you. And he understands what it's like living in this sinful world. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows your needs, and more importantly, he can do something about it. Christ watches over you. He takes care of you. He guards you and protects you. He makes sure that the devil cannot harm you. He thwarts his attacks. He keeps harm far away from you. Jesus, our teacher, is God. He's in heaven. He ascended into heaven and given power over his entire creation. He may be God, but he hasn't left us alone. For he is still found in his word. He still speaks to us through his church. And he watches over us from his throne in heaven. And soon, he will return again, just the way he came. He'll take us to live with him in heaven forever. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.